31. The Wicker Man.
Moto?
To his relief, Octavia's look of horror turned to one of stark confusion.
But your face! You looked just like fur.
He turned away, fumbled for his mask, and shoved it back into place, quickly tightening the ties.
A mere trick. A sleight of face instead of hand. It was more than that.
He rubbed the sideburns from his face and showed them to her.
Dog hair. From a hound. I fought one of those beasts off just now. It nearly devoured my arm.
He displayed his torn sleeve, stained with patches of his blood.
I shoved a steel bar in its mouth.
She was still gazing doubtfully at him when another loud bang shook the train car, followed by an engine coming to life.
Later you'll have to explain that little face trick, she said, a hard edge to her voice. You're keeping a secret from me. But we'd better see what's happening out there.
Modo pushed the door open a few inches. They could see men backing away from something that moved noisily inside the swirling smoke and steam. Hackendotter, Hyde, and another man observed from a scaffold 10 feet above the action. The second man turned.
That's Mr. Gibbons. Yes, and he has a brand new mechanized arm. So he betrayed Mr. Socrates.
Modo clenched his fists.
There's not much we can do about that right now. What are they waiting for?
At that moment, Fur rose up out of the great cloud of steam, standing on a footplate, harnessed upright to a protective steel shield that curved around his back. He puffed on a cigar and manipulated a number of large levers. 2 metal arms, with pincers for fingers, swung into the air, grabbed onto the edge of the cavern, and pulled the rest of the machine higher. Each arm was constructed of rectangular metal boxes, and inside each box a child was bolted. The machine swayed from side to side, metal screeching as it rose, revealing more of its torso, and then Fur pulled back on the levers. A giant foot pressed onto the rocky floor, and the machine stood at its full height. Modo gaped at the sickening sight. It was fully 50 feet high, and looked like the skeleton of a human body, with fur at the head. There were even glowing filaments running like veins through the appendages and ribcage, and up the spine of the structure. The shoulder bolts held the children tightly in their metal frames. Each time Fur jerked on a lever, the children crouched, then pushed and straightened their backs as one, and made the giant move. At least 100 children powered the machine. It boggled Modo to think they could be strong enough, even in their altered forms, to move all that iron. He couldn't see any sign of another engine, though.
Is Oppie trapped in there?
Modo couldn't even begin to comprehend the boy's terror.
I imagine so, along with Esther. It's the most wretched thing I've ever seen,
Octavia said. Fur made the arms swing up and down. 2 metal claws, the hands, opened and closed. The giant lumbered forward.
It's a wicker man,
Modo exclaimed.
What? I saw an illustration, a giant wicker man that the Gauls would use as a cage for human sacrifices. They'd burn the people inside.
He stared at the machine.
That schematic I stole from the Balcombe house. We thought it was a suit of armor. We just didn't have the right dimensions.
Workers were shining lights on the machine, revealing a larger square at the heart of it. The groaning figure inside the square was not a child, but a young man.
That must be Prince Albert, Modo said. You're right. The prince at the heart of a horrible machine. This clockwork guild certainly loves its symbols. The papers will have a heyday.
Hyde staggered up to the giant in awe, his arms raised as though he wanted to embrace it. His face had a look of absolute joy.
Dr. Hyde,
Hackendotter shouted through a speaking trumpet.
Step back. We have to complete our tests.
But he still walked about, reaching to touch the metal ankles of the machine, hugging its calves.
Cornelius, come back to me.
He snapped out of his trance and climbed back up to the platform, stealing another glance over his shoulder and shaking his head in wonder.
Well, that was odd,
Octavia said.
I just don't understand what this machine is meant for.
I don't know. And how do they intend to get it out of here?
Fur pulled the levers, grinning. One gigantic arm reached out, and the pincers lifted a barrel and squeezed until it snapped in two, spraying water across the ground. The giant's arms swung about, knocking half the scaffolding over. Workers scattered, and Fur let out a barking laugh. Hakandotti raised her speaking trumpet again.
"The system is functioning properly. You may proceed, Mr. Fur."
With that, Fur manipulated the levers so that both of the giant's arms were bent, as though it were flexing its muscles. The ceiling was only a few feet above it now. The left arm shot straight up, driving the pincers directly into the rock, which cracked. The right arm followed. Then both arms struck again and again, causing dirt and shattered stones to rain down. A beam of sunlight shot through the cavern ceiling, illuminating the giant's gleaming arms. When the opening was large enough, Fur shouted,
"For the Clockwork Guild!"
The giant grabbed onto something outside with its claws and began a slow, deliberate climb out of the cavern and into the streets of London.